relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
You hear the phrase a lot right now, with good reason. It is gaslighting. What does it mean to be gaslit? It's when somebody tries to convince you to believe in something that isn't real and to doubt your own senses. Let me give you an example from the man who sadly bears the title President of the United States.
It sounded like you told U.S. troops they were going to Ukraine. It sounded like you said it was possible the U.S. would use a chemical weapon, and it sounded like you were calling for regime change in Russia, and we know...
None of the three occurred. And you're going to see when you're there, and some of you have been there, you're going to see women, young people standing in the middle of front of a damn tank, just saying, I'm not leaving. I'm holding my ground.
If chemical weapons were used in Ukraine, would that trigger a military response from NATO?
It would trigger a response in kind. For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power.
Those clips are within 4 days of each other. We're going to have a regime change in Moscow. The 82nd Airborne are going to see for themselves what's happening in Ukraine on the ground, and that we will use chemical weapons, a response in kind against Moscow. And then he denies all of it. That is the definition of gaslighting. What do you need to know about the largest conflict on the Eurasian landmass since 1945, with the largest displacement of refugees we have seen since World War II? Let's talk to our very special America First one-on-one guest in studio, Rebecca Koffler. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Seb. Such a pleasure to be here with you and your America First American Patriots.
Thank you kindly. We're so glad to have you here because you have a new book that you have written the foreword to. It is, where's my main camera? It is Zelensky, the first major profile of Ukraine's President Vladimir Zelensky, the unlikely Ukrainian hero who defied Putin and united the world, written by Andrew Urban and Chris McLeod, and with your foreword. Before we jump into the book, which, full disclosure, is from my publishers, The Great Regnery, and I didn't even know about it, but I'm glad it has appeared today, been launched today. For those who missed your prior appearances on the show, walk us through your credentials, your work with the CIA, the DIA, and your expertise on Russia. Just give us a summary of your bio, Rebecca.
Sure. I served as a senior intelligence officer for Russian doctrine and strategy in the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is the military counterpart to CIA. We provide support to our warfighters and consequently also to our commander-in-chief, who's in charge of armed forces. I also worked with the Central Intelligence Agency's National Clandestine Service on the Russian target. So anything from Putin, his mindset, his goals.
That's the National Clandestine Service. That's the renaming of the DO, the Director of Operations. So these aren't just the analysts. These are the actual officers who are doing operations overseas.
100% true, and I was proud to serve with these officers. They're the most dedicated, the most fearless, and they're the ones who don't politicize intelligence. They just want to do the mission and protect American people from foreign threats.
And explain also in your bio, I recall that it also describes the fact that you were doing red teaming for these agencies. Explain to our millions of listeners and viewers the concept of red teaming. Who are you pretending to be when you red team?
Of course. So wargaming is a standard part of the intelligence analytic process. So the red team is typically an adversary. In my case, it would be Russia, since my expertise is in Russia, Putin, Ukraine, Eurasia. And it can also be China, you know. So red team and then blue team is the good guys. It's us. So I typically either participated or led red teams, which means I played either Putin or, you know, some senior commander.
You were the bad guy.
I was the bad guy. But the reason I was the bad guy, obviously, is because not only because of my expertise, but because I'm also Russian-born. My cognitive process was formed over there. Putin does not think like an American. Despite what many analysts think, they try to attribute, you know, project the same type of thinking on Putin. He's not an American. The Russians don't think like Americans. And that's why I provided value to the blue team by feeding them the understanding of how Putin's think, what is his next move, so that they can take advantage of that knowledge.
Right. The book, which we will be discussing in detail, is Zelensky, the unlikely Ukrainian hero who defied Putin and united the world, with the photograph on the cover that we used for our T-shirt at America First, which is the fastest selling item we have on the America First website. If you want to send a message to the Biden administration, it was his response to the White House when they said, hey, you can run away from Putin. We'll send you a plane. And he told Biden, I don't need a ride. I need ammunition. It is the fastest selling item made in America. Go to sebgorkastore.com and see all the other America First gear. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorkastore.com. Before we talk about who Zelensky is, how he's very adroitly using his training in media to try and get the Western allies as involved as possible, talk to us about the last 6 weeks. Every day there's another report. The Minister of Defense poisoned. Two senior chief intelligence directors under house arrest. 20 other leading Russian officials apparently disappeared. This is not going as the former KGB colonel Vladimir Putin expected, is it, Rebecca?
Absolutely not. The blitzkrieg that Putin expected, decapitating Kiev, i.e. eliminating Zelensky, killing him or capturing him, never happened.
Replacing him with a supplicant puppet. That was the plan, correct?
That was the original plan. Everybody thought that, including the Pentagon, our intelligence agencies. That never happened. Everyone was surprised. Putin miscalculated on three things. He miscalculated on the Ukrainians' will to fight. These people are Slavs, right? They fight, you know, like crazy. There's tremendous also animosity towards Putin. Second, Putin miscalculated Zelensky's personal leadership, his personality, his ability to galvanize the entire Western world, not just the leadership, but also financial, you know, leaders.
Instruments.
Well, and also,
it's not good if you're fighting somebody who can give a live teleconference speech broadcast to the Congress, is it? That's not good for you.
You nailed it.
Right?
Exactly. Zelensky has been incredible at his ability to really utilize social media. He's like the maestro, the conductor playing the orchestra. And then the third thing that Putin miscalculated is the ability of his forces to tactically outmaneuver Ukrainians, because Ukrainians have been receiving training from us, from the blue, from the good guys, and they've been receiving, you know, special military hardware from us that has produced devastating effect. Now, Putin is not giving up, even though Russian forces are not tactically as brilliant as American forces. Putin still is achieving his strategic goal.
Let me ask you, how much of the failure of Russian forces is down to corruption inside the Russian military?
There's quite a substantial, you know, corruption aspect.
So the money wasn't getting to where it needed to be.
The money specifically wasn't getting to the FSB, to the foreign intelligence part of the FSB, Federal Security Service. And their specific mission was to infiltrate the Ukrainian government and foment, you know, a group of people who were pro-Russian, feed intelligence, but specifically to really turn around Ukraine from a Western-leaning country into the country that would go back under Moscow's control, Putin's original mission. And then that he failed. Now, there's also been a lot of mirror imaging, Seb, and you know what that means.
We'll talk about mirror imaging in my work in the Defense Department and working with the intelligence analysts across numerous agencies in the United States. It doesn't matter what topic I was talking about. The first thing was mirror imaging is America's greatest weakness.
Yes.
We look at others, whether it's the Taliban, whether it's the mullahs, whether it's Putin, and we think, oh, well, it works here in America like this, therefore it must work like that in Tehran or Moscow. It does not. The book is Zelensky, the unlikely Ukrainian hero who defied Putin and united the world. If you enjoy our show as much as we love making it, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. It's free. Go to your favorite platform. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka. You can subscribe for free. Write us a review and never miss any of our episodes. Be sure to do that. This is America First One-on-One. If you haven't done so already, be sure to also make sure that you are subscribed to, or rather reserved your places on our Stand With Israel tour. It is 10 days later this year in the Holy Land, literally to walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth, along with my fabulous Salem colleague Dinesh D'Souza and his lovely wife Debbie. Places you may have only read about in the New Testament, like Jerusalem, like the Garden of Gethsemane, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, or being there at the shores of the Sea of Galilee, you will actually physically be with us. Even if you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. Join us today. Register at standwithisraeltour.com or call 855-565-5519. That number again, 855-565-5519, or standwithisraeltour.com. StandWithIsraelTour.com.
In November of 2020, the Democrats were up to no good. They were planning to pull off the greatest scheme of election fraud ever. They didn't think we would catch them, but we did. Find out what they did and how they did it in the new documentary film, 2000 Mules, directed and narrated by renowned filmmaker Salem's own Dinesh D'Souza and executive produced by the Salem Media Group with research from True the Vote. 2000 Mules tells the story of criminals who tried to hijack a presidential election. You'll see the actual video surveillance footage. You'll see how we tracked the mules by their cell phones to box after box as they got paid to carry out this illegal scheme. Watch the movie, decide for yourself. Attend the limited release premieres on May 2nd and May 4th. Check out your local listings. Get your tickets today only at 2000mules.com. That's the number 2000mules.com.
So let's dive straight in with regards to Zelensky, the accusations made against Zelensky, and the narrative that Putin is still using to justify this invasion, which is an invasion. They've called this small Jewish comedian who lost members of his family in the Holocaust, they're calling him a Nazi out of the Kremlin. How important is this narrative when you're selling an invasion to the Russian citizenry to say, we're fighting Nazis that don't exist in Ukraine?
Well, Putin is a master propagandist, right? He specifically chose that narrative, although it's illogical. Zelensky can't possibly be a Nazi because at least three members of his family, his great-grandfather and even four, three brothers, were murdered in the Holocaust, right? But Putin knows that this is a hot button for the Russians, because they lost 20 million people in what we call the World War II and the Russians call Great Patriotic War. The Russians hate Nazis, right?
So if you say we're fighting Nazis for the Rodina, for the motherland, then it's very hard to say, oh, that's not good or that can't be true.
Exactly.
You have to buy in because of the history of World War II.
Exactly. They're all in. So when he says special operation to demilitarize, to denazify, that resonates, okay? Now, whether the Russians support Putin or not, they're really not pro-war, right now, after they have seen all the atrocity, they've seen Putin, you know, targeting maternity hospital.
But do they see that because media is state controlled? Are they seeing the footage of Mariupol and the maternity clinic? Is that being shown on state TV?
No, they don't have the clear picture. Right. So only people who have access to that information through Western sources, you know, somebody, let's say, has a relative or a friend in the West, they get information. That's how they get. Because just like we regretfully banned, you know, Russian media from here, effectively, you know, decapitating our own ability to collect open source intelligence, which is extremely, extremely important. So the Russians do the same. They keep their people in the dark. But even now that the information is trickling down, people understand, no, we don't want that war, you know.
And that's why we're seeing some protests.
Exactly. That's why we see some protests. But will these protests actually gain momentum and grow to the point where Putin will be removed? No, absolutely not. That's pure mirror imaging. That's not how Russian things work in Russia. Putin is an assassin. This is why he went and had that huge rally where he basically... In the stadium, right.
On the anniversary of the invasion of Crimea, just a few weeks ago, right?
Exactly.
With those grandmothers paid to hold up a, you know, glory to the motherland.
Right, right.
Explain to us why Ukraine, why it's so crucial. One person, let me run this by you, you know, as the former chief for Russian issues at the DIA. Somebody said to me, Ukraine, which most people don't understand, literally is a breadbasket. If you look at fertilizer production, vegetables, exports of foodstuffs to Africa and elsewhere, it truly is one of the highest exporters of foodstuffs and agricultural stuffs to the world. But here's the phrase I want to run by you. Somebody said, without Ukraine, Russia can never be an empire again. And if you want to create an empire, you have to have this fertile, huge piece of territory. Why is Ukraine so crucial to Vladimir Putin?
That is exactly correct. Whoever said that, without Ukraine, Russia cannot be an empire, or what Putin calls it is the Union. Remember, his ultimate goal is to reconstitute a supranational alliance similar to the USSR as a counterweight to the European Union. He already has a counterweight to NATO, which is called CSTO, Collective Security Treaty Organization. Remember, this is a war not between Russia and Ukraine. This is a proxy war between Russia and the United States and NATO, or even going broader as Atlanticism and Eurasianism. So Ukraine is crucial to Putin from two standpoints. First is what you described, you know, economically. This is the breadbasket. This is why, regretfully, right now, we are hit with the third-order consequences that our own incompetent Biden administration officials did not precalculate. We're experiencing high, you know, spiking gas prices, hiking food prices because of the fertilizer
you just
mentioned, right? This is exactly why it's important for Putin. But the second reason is Ukraine is part of what the Russians have called a strategic security perimeter or the buffer zone. And that aspect is not covered in our traditional Western media, in the mass media.
Is that
media.
The same as what he referred to as the near abroad for ages?
Yes, yes.
Right. So a buffer zone that he controls, the future of which cannot change unless he says so.
Correct. So look at the what with the NATO... NATO's acceptance of the Baltic, Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania. The distance between NATO forces and St. Petersburg, which is the second largest city in Russia and was even the capital, right, has reduced from 1,000 miles to 100 miles. That is shorter than between New York and Washington.
But the logic is flawed because the logic of needing a buffer zone only stands if you believe NATO's going to invade a country of 11 time zones with 5,000 nukes. So it doesn't matter how close your territory is, NATO doesn't invade nations with 5,000 nuclear warheads. It's his narrative, isn't it?
Oh, it's totally his narrative, and he's thinking, and not just his, Seb, it's the entire, you know, Russian national security apparatus. They didn't just come up with this narrative. They do threat forecasting 50 years out,
right.
And they already concluded that a war between Russia and the U.S. is inevitable. And when you have this assessment, every action that we take is interpreted through that prism.
I'm going to ask you about that coterie, the Siloviki, the people around Putin momentarily. Friends, the footage out of Ukraine is shocking every single day. What we see, the reports now from Mariupol, from Bucha, 10,000 civilians killed in Mariupol, the mass graves in Bucha. You can make a difference. Will you support the women and children who are suffering in Ukraine? Yes, 4 million have escaped, but there are still more than 40 million people trapped inside that country. And we have the incredible work of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews that is flying literally tons of refugee aid, warm clothing, medical supplies, all kinds of refugee needs, food into the region. Please support this incredible effort. You can go to my website, that's sebgorka.com, and click on the Crisis in Ukraine banner at the top. Make a donation in any amount, and you will be literally saving lives. We can't fight for the Ukrainians. They want to fight for their own independence, but you can help those, especially the women and children trapped there. Please go to my website, sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, and click on the Crisis in Ukraine banner. If you prefer, you can call the fellowship on 800-970-5010. That's 800-970-5010, or just go to sebgorka.com.
Mike Lindell has a true passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. Therefore, he created the Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel incredible, which translates to an even better night's sleep for you. Mike's latest amazing deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you will receive 60% off the Giza Dream sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a full set for as low as $39.99. And for a limited time, with any purchase, you'll receive Mike's soft cover book free when you use promo code G-O-R-K-A. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code Gorka. Along with this offer, you'll also get deep, deep discounts on all his MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-829-8468, promo code Gorka. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A.
We're going to talk about the book, Zelensky, that you've written the foreword for, but first have to get a couple of things out of the way. Putin isn't crazy. I mean, we have these reports. He's crazy, he's sick, he's using steroids. He's been planning this for over a decade, no?
Absolutely. Over almost 20 years, ever since he has become president, he never actually made it a secret, Seb. Right. You know this, every single speech, every single press conference, every single strategic planning document, such as military doctrine, national security strategy, and the list goes on, he was very, very clear what he wanted to do. It's just for whatever reason, we weren't listening.
Yeah.
I personally briefed scores and scores Pentagon officials under the Obama administration. And we were told, well, why are you talking to us about war with Russia? We're not going to go to war with Russia. We want to reset with Russia. And remember that
Clinton, right,
that
Lavrov.
Lavrov, they trotted out this stupid little gadget.
Mistranslated switch that says overcharge. Right.
I know. So that fell on deaf ears. We were not prepared. And this has become very evident now that Biden has only one gadget in his toolkit, sanctions. And he himself even acknowledged the sanctions were not going to deter Putin. Well, why weren't you prepared? You had at least 10 years to develop a deterrence strategy similar to the one that President Ronald Reagan developed, and it worked, right?
Let's talk about the latest news this weekend, nuclear weapons.
Yes.
There was a Russian wargaming exercise, I think it was 2012 or 2013, that involved Belarusia, NATO, and eventually the Russian use of tactical nukes against Poland. When Zelensky says Putin may use nukes, is this just a man trying to get the West even more engaged? Or is it possible now that the Politburo does not exist and doesn't control nuclear weapons, that the general staff of Russia thinks this might be an option?
Oh, absolutely. It's both. Yes, Zelensky, no question, wants to garner support. His country is under attack. It's been annihilated, wiped out off the map, you know, just like what Putin is doing. But the truth is, Zelensky is correct in his assessment of the Russian military doctrine. And what Peskov said, Putin's press secretary, his publicist, is not true. Yes, technically, when Christiane Amanpour, the CNN's reporter, asked him to rule out the use of nuclear weapons in Ukraine, he said, well, we have a doctrine, but it's only under existential threat. Well, wittingly or unwittingly, Joe Biden has recently just green-lighted, you know, for the use of nuclear weapons. How? He called for a regime change.
Yes.
Right? Also, he's calling for genocide. But this is exactly what the Russians have been suspected on along, is that it's our official policy is regime change. And so they are now saying, well, the West is waging a total war against Russia.
Let me just unpack
mm-hmm.
that. So,
sure.
So when Biden makes this comment that is walked back 24 hours later by the White House, but when he says, you know, somebody remove this man from the Kremlin, that for the Kremlin is, well, we told you so, and
exactly.
This is now existential, therefore nukes can be justified.
Correct. That's exactly correct. And they're also putting it in the context of everything else. It's not just Biden. Senator Lindsey Graham,
of course, a few
weeks ago, said, basically called on the Russian people to remove Putin.
Why doesn't somebody get rid of him?
Exactly.
It
feeds into paranoia.
And also their threat assessment. We're talking to the individual who's written the foreword to the book, Zelensky, Rebecca Koffler. This is America First, one-on-one. Dear friends, you know that I am skeptical by nature. So when I first heard about the threat of home title theft, I thought, really? Is that a thing? Well, it is, dear friends. A cyber hacker can get into the title for your home, remove you from it, and put himself on it, and take out loans against your property. Don't be a victim. Don't endanger the most valuable asset you own. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. Find out if you've already been a victim, and if you haven't, register your home for protection. This is the most valuable thing that you own. You need to have a fence. You need to have a system around that title that will protect it forever. Please use my name, G-O-R-K-A, at HomeTitleLock.com to protect your home from those who want to take it from you and burden you with debt. That's HomeTitleLock.com. And use my name, G-O-R-K-A, for my listener and viewer discount.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
So we have to discuss the subject of this book that you've written the foreword for. It is Zelensky, the unlikely Ukrainian hero who defied Putin and united the world. Comedian, actor, the star of this series that I've watched. It's actually available on Netflix. I'm brushing up on my Ukrainian, where he plays a high school teacher who, through certain shenanigans, becomes the president of Ukraine. It is quite funny. This individual hasn't run away. He's not like the president of Afghanistan when we surrendered, who took, you know, millions, if not billions of dollars and left the country he was elected to represent. Talk to us about what's in the book. I understand they're not exactly conservative authors, but one of them has relatives in Ukraine. Andrew Urban lived in or escaped communist Hungary. What is the thesis of the book, and what should all Americans know about the man who is fighting Russia in Ukraine?
Of course. So the book is making tremendous contribution to the Americans' knowledge about who Zelensky really is, precisely because of the fact that we are at war today, which is not just about Ukraine and Russia. It is between a proxy war between Russia and the United States.
If we're sanctioning Russia, if we're giving weapons to Ukraine, we're involved.
100%. Right. People have called for a no-fly zone. Well, the Russians would perceive such a thing as an act of war, and then we're actively involved. And the fact that we withdrew from Afghanistan after 20 years, having superior weaponry, having the best war-fighting force in military history, our men and women who are dedicated but unfortunately mismanaged by people like Mark Milley,
yes,
who talked with the Chinese counterpart, right? So that that kind of situation feeds into the Russians' understanding of how we fight. And this is why it's important for us that at any minute, any wrong move could trigger World War III, right? Because of what we discussed in the previous segment about Russia's escalate to de-escalate nuclear doctrine, where they use tactical nuclear weapons with low yield in Ukraine, but then because nobody has ever used in a battlefield other than the United States in Japan, no one knows how it's going to unfold, but wargaming intelligence indicates it escalates very quickly.
Right.
And this is why we need to know who Zelensky is. He has an extraordinary, multifaceted personality. He has exhibited tremendous leadership, statecraft. He's a statement who can put to shame a lot of others, like you said, the Afghani president. But he also displayed real heroism that our Western leaders, Joe Biden, can learn from.
Yeah, it's quite sad. I mean, lots of others have jumped on the bandwagon. Biden hasn't. But to see Boris Johnson and Zelensky without body armor, without armored limousines, walking around downtown Kiev, which is a war zone, that's something. I mean, that's not just propaganda. You're actually walking around in a war zone, and that's statecraft. That's being a statesman.
Statecraft, 100%. What a powerful picture.
Yeah.
Right? What a powerful picture. But Zelensky is a master of that. In the intelligence community, we use this type of, statecraft as diplomatic, informational, and even disinformation in some sense, right? In Zelensky's case, since this is used for the good cause, this is a very robust public relations campaign. This is how he won his presidency.
No.
He didn't have debates. He rejected debates. He used social media in a very, very creative manner.
So he's a modern man.
He's a modern man, unlike Putin, right, who's stuck in the...
Who doesn't use computers.
Correct. So he's stuck in the pre-internet age. Zelensky has outmaneuvered and upstaged Putin in the information warfare department.
Right.
You look, Zelensky putting translators to tears with his speeches,
right,
you know, to U.S. Congress, to British
Nations.
Parliament.
Right.
He knows exactly what to say. He knows exactly what to show in these videos. He has won information warfare.
That's a fascinating treatise all by itself to compare and contrast a pre-internet age head of a nation with 11 time zones, and then this comedian who knows how to use social media. I think somebody needs to write that PhD thesis. Let me ask you about the scenarios that could end the war inside Russia. When people talk of regime change, which in and of itself is very dangerous because you never know who replaces the old guard, how successful has Putin been? Whether it's Navalny, whether it's Khodorkovsky, how successful has he been in removing any organic internal resistance? Is he truly an emperor, or is it possible, as in most dictatorships, that that inside his inner circle, somebody could say, okay, I'm losing too much money, or my kid now doesn't get to go to college in Harvard, I'm going to poison this guy. Is he ironclad? Is he covered in Teflon? Or could there be a challenge to him inside the regime?
So my professional assessment said that regime change is not viable right now. It's just not how things work in Russia.
Because
okay?
he's sorted it all out.
Look at this. He has authorized multiple poisoning assassinations.
Yes.
He has successfully been either removing or neutralizing opposition. Navalny, Boris Nemtsov. He even had authorized murders of Politkovskaya. And I know he denies it, but, you know,
it's
Anna
obvious.
Politkovskaya right. is the one who covered the war in Chechnya.
The journalist who was shot on her doorstep.
Exactly. Right. Right. So he, even some of the Russian nationalists who visited the United States, right in DuPont Circle, in the heart of Washington, Mikhail Lysin was murdered. Yes, it's supposedly it's a you know, he died because he was drunk and hit himself somehow on the floor.
Yeah, but it's an open secret
right. among FBI and security officials with whom you're familiar.
He didn't bang his head on the carpet.
right. So people are afraid. But then the second thing, the Siloviki, the securocrats, they're not going to do that. They depend on him. He depends on them. And the oligarchs, again, they just either fear or, like, there's a long road between conceptualizing a poisoning or a murder and actually executing this. It just not.
The securocrats. I like that. That is excellent. Okay, we are discussing a brand new book out today, Zelensky, the unlikely Ukrainian hero who defied Putin and united the world, written by Andrew Orban and Chris McLeod, with the foreword by former DIA officer Rebecca Koffler. You can follow her at RebeccaKoffler.com. That's R-E-B-E-K-A-H. Or you can follow her on Twitter at Rebecca0132. We are broadcasting to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans from their daily pain, me included. But it's not just me, it's people like Yvonne from California. This is her story. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried out so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Pain-free. Find out today. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. I guarantee you, Dr. G's guarantee, I promise, if you try it, after 3 weeks, you'll know whether it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and thousands of your fellow Americans. That's ReliefFactor.com or 800-500-8384. I'm going to ask you, what is that type of literature, magical realism, I think it is, Gabriel Marquez and the rest. I'm going to ask you a fantasy question, if I may, because I know it's not going to happen. If Biden were to listen to you, despite how the political elite has not listened to you for far too long and ignored your sage advice, let's make it another. Another person is the president, and we are where we are right now. What should America be doing differently when it comes to the war in Ukraine, and then with regards to Russia in terms of everything else? So what needs to be done differently, Rebecca?
Well, the first question, it depends on what it is that we want to achieve in Ukraine.
See, now that's a professional. That is a professional who says, hang on, I need to know what the objective is we wish to achieve. Okay, if we wish Ukraine to maintain independence, just say that is a strategic objective, what is America's role?
Independence, if you mean by independence...
A functioning nation.
Right. Okay. Part of NATO or not part of NATO? Independence...
Not under the thumb of Russia, let's
say. Right. Okay, so... Basically, right now, it's a very, very tough question,
yeah. You
know, Seb, and you know this, and I don't want to pretend that I actually know the answer, because we've been sleeping at the wheel for 20 years.
Yeah.
You can't on the fly come up with a deterrent strategy that takes years. You can't secure. Part of the reason why the Russians invaded Ukraine right now is because of our perceived vulnerabilities. It's not just because of the ambitions that Putin has.
No, it's because
but
of Afghanistan as well.
Afghanistan, our computer network, communication networks
Energy.
Are insecure.
Right.
They're at the kindergarten
right.
level, right?
So
space networks, satellites
right.
networks, right? On which we're dependent for every aspect of our warfighting capability. Biden is not capable of making a sensible decision. In fact, the U.S. Russian intelligence services have concluded him to be cognitively impaired and actually having dementia.
The Russian intelligence services are saying that about Biden.
Yes, there was just a piece produced in the Russian press that you know is under U.S. government control. So my Russian government control.
Yes, right.
Right. So my intelligence indicates to me that the Russians have assessed him to be having dementia, and they said there are 5 signs of dementia according to the World Health Organization, and they articulated all the 5 signs. And some of them is like forgetfulness and inability to make complete sentences and complete thoughts, behavioral issues such as aimless wandering,
yeah.
And 3 others. We're not going to go. But you asked me a specific question, what can be done, right? Deterrence strategies takes years. Now, right now, the Ukrainian position and the Russian position are irreconcilable because neither one of these very type A personality men, both Putin and Zelensky, very stubborn, with an element of narcissism is each, and tremendous personal disdain for each other. They don't want to give in. Zelensky said, I don't trade my people. I don't trade territory of Ukraine. He wants Crimea back. He wouldn't give Donbass.
Donetsk and Luhansk.
Exactly.
Right.
Putin is not going to give Crimea back. So we are at
deadlocked.
A stalemate, deadlock. Right. Now, Putin would agree to Ukraine neutrality, just like what he was asking, meaning that Ukraine will not become part of NATO. It's against our U.S. long-term policy, bipartisan. There's a reason why we're supporting Ukraine. It's a part of U.S. strategic interest, maybe not vital interest. Some people argue whether it is or it isn't, but there's a highly classified U.S. policy used to be highly classified, now it's not in the open, that we would do everything possible to prevent Russia from emerging as a dominant power in Eurasia because of the fear of the Soviet Union and how they wanted to spread. So we're at a stalemate right now. So what I would advise to Biden right now is talk to Zelensky and come to some sort of conclusion to bring the conflict down, because people are being annihilated, okay? Because Putin deliberately targets civilians
yeah.
so that he can compel Zelensky to end this suffering.
Okay, so very last question. Moving forward, blank slate, what should American policy towards Russia be? Let's start by just one answer to one question. How should Washington understand the type of country that Russia is? When I was, I'm not an expert like you on Russia, but I do strategy for the intelligence services. My starting point for analysts was you need to understand Russia is an anti-status quo actor. They're not interested in status quo because the status quo doesn't profit them. They wish to destabilize the status quo. What would you say is the most important thing we don't understand about Russia that we need to understand?
That Russia will never become America's friend.
Yeah.
Russia perceives itself as exceptional, just like we do. And then we need to deal with them on a transactional basis to avoid conflict. That's number one. And then number two, I'm sorry, make ourselves energy independent from Russia. Remove that dependency, secure our communication networks, secure our satellites, and that will immediately demonstrate to Putin that we are serious about our own defense. If he can't penetrate our networks, it's very hard for him to destabilize our country, whether, you know, by election sabotage that he did in 2016 or to actually attack our networks in a, you know, disruptive way, let's say.
All right, so there you have it. It's a very good place to start. You can have an understanding. Russia will never be our friend. The relationship with it must be transactional. And perhaps most important of all, secure ourselves in those areas where we are vulnerable right now to Russian attack. The book is Zelensky, the unlikely Ukrainian hero who defied Putin and united the world, with the foreword by Rebecca Kofler. You've been listening to America First. This is the Salem Media Network, and I'm your host, Sebastian Gorka. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head in a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
The Biden administration announced that the Transportation Security Administration will no longer enforce the federal mandate requiring masks in all U.S. airports and on board aircraft.
Finally!
Think that is the most popular social media product now available on any micro blogging platform like the Twitter. It is, of course, the videos from on board those aluminium tubes. Aluminum, is that right? Where people listen to their captain announcing, yep, it's over. The insanity, the science denial of having a cloth mask on your face. Except when you're eating or drinking, when COVID magically disappears whilst you are eating and drinking, is over. Why? Because a brave female federal judge struck it down, saying that HHS, TSA, and the rest of the federal agencies had no mandate to force you to do that.
The left is going wild. They are melting down. Even doctors who are writing tweets like this one that I just have to share with you. So, hi, United. Oh, of course, this is America First. I'm Sebastian Gorka, and this is the Salem News Network. Hi at United. When I bought my tickets for me, my wife, who is pregnant, and our unvaccinated four-year-old, I assumed you would continue to have a mask mandate. Well, number one, why did you do that, Jeremy Faust, MD? Because presumably they had to end at some point. Did you want them to wait until you'd arrived home for the Biden administration to surrender? Now you cancel the mask mandate, United, and we will have to board our return flight under your new no mask required policy. Thank you so much. That is from Jeremy Faust, MD, who I tweeted at should be struck off the medical register because he's not a scientist. He doesn't believe in science. And by the way, Dr. Faust, there's nothing to prevent you from getting on that plane with every member of your family, extended or otherwise, with one mask, with two masks, with a body condom, should you so require, or maybe a plastic bag over your head as well, if that's what makes you really feel safe. Alternatively, you don't have to fly. It is not a rule in America that anybody has to fly. I guess Rosanna Arquette doesn't know that, because what she posted, that genius of health policy, that PhD of epidemiology, has she made a movie in the last 20 years? I will not fly without a mask. America is grateful to you, Rosanna Arquette. Seriously, friends, it looks like it's over. And the good news is, I posted a video of some normal stewardesses. Yes, I prefer the phrase steward and stewardesses, not flight attendants, celebrating along with you, celebrating along with normal Americans who realized that this was a farce, this was a farrago, a disease that killed significantly less than 1% of the people who caught it, a disease that had nary an effect on those who were healthy, especially children. Children who were practically immune. If they had no existing serious condition, nothing autoimmune related or related to their respiratory system, children simply did not die from COVID. And to see young children being forced by their parents, being forced by the TSA and the airlines to be masked for hours on end on a plane that seriously is not a threat to their health was an abomination. Now we know the biggest threat to America isn't the government. It is those unprepared to stand up to the government. But the most delicious thing of all is, what does the Biden administration do now? This wasn't a voluntary decision. This wasn't Fauci saying, yeah, I got it wrong and the UK is right and Sweden is right. It's time to live like free people. No. This was one brave female Trump appointee judge who said, no, you don't have that authority. Sorry, HHS, sorry, DHS, sorry, CDC, you do not have that authority. So do they appeal it? Does the Biden administration expend time, political capital, and your money on appealing that judgment? It's going to be hard for them not to if they wish to placate the Rosanna Arquettes of the world. If they wish to seem as if the last 2 years of their virtue signaling wasn't negative, wasn't empty, wasn't just a show, the other option is not to appeal it, to say, okay, you got us. We lied about science when Fauci said, you don't need a mask. That's just hysteria. That was right. Then what happens? potentially the less vocal but more numerous Democrats, allegedly 81 million of whom, yeah, 81 million of whom, voted for Biden, will say, well, hang on a second. Why are you siding with the Republicans? Why are you siding with those who believe in bodily autonomy? Either way, they lose, which is fabulous, which is delicious. But here is the conclusion for us. Don't celebrate it. Why are we celebrating? It never should have happened in the first place. It's wrong. There is no scientific study, none, zero, from any kind that demonstrates empirically that a cloth mask makes a difference with the coronavirus. That's not how you protect yourself. And in fact, the reason that doctors and nurses wear them is to not expel something into their patients on the operating table. It's very different from protecting yourself from a virus that is so small that it can easily penetrate multiple layers of cloth. That's just a scientific statement. So why did we do it at all? Why didn't we just refuse? I refused to wear a mask to such an extent, as you heard. A year ago at 7-Eleven, an insane man in a double mask threatened to shoot me with the Glock in his glove box if I didn't immediately mask myself. An incident that I filmed him getting into his car and I sent to the local police authorities to investigate, because that's the level of science denial and hysteria. But not enough of us stood up. Now is the time. There will be municipalities where they say, I don't care about that, judge. We're going to continue. If you live there, what are you going to do about it? Will you be a sheep? Or will you be a free man? Will you be somebody who kneels at the altar of Fauci? Or will you be an American? In this year of all years, it's time to take a stand. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. We will be joined by Lord Conrad Black, J.D. Vance next. Newly approved candidate for the Senate, thanks to President Trump. If you enjoyed this show, don't forget to subscribe. Go to Spotify, plug in my name, look for America First. It's free. Share the links, write a review, and guarantee that you never, ever miss an episode. This is the Salem Network, and I'm your host, Sebastian Gorka. Don't touch that dial.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.